Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you, Brother Mooney, and there has never been and never will be another one like Brother Paul Mooney. An outstanding man, an outstanding pastor, an outstanding preacher, an outstanding leader. Just top notch. It's good to be here with you, Brother Mooney. Sister Mooney, we love and appreciate you. She said we've known them a long time, and our friendship goes way back. We're glad to be here in this great church. Enjoyed this conference tremendously. Enjoyed the singing, the music, the worship. Last night, Brother Mooney started off, and then Brother Booker. Wasn't that tremendous? And then this morning, we was in the breakfast. Good meeting there. The bishop that talked to us this morning, Brother Tramble's message was outstanding. Brother Prince this morning, and also Brother Paymer, Brother Bill Davis, and all of these tremendous. Brother Mike Chance, and Brother Mooney again, Brother Molenpaul, Brother Billy McCool, and then tonight Brother Kraft and Brother French. I feel like they've loaded my wagon down. Man, I'm telling you, I'm full of one God, Jesus' name, apostolic teaching. How many love this great truth tonight with all your heart? Amen. How many appreciate the word of the Lord that the lamp to our feet and it's the light to our path? Amen. It's good to be here with all of you, Senator Brother and Sister Mooney, and Brother O.C. Marler, longtime friend. Appreciate him very much, and Brother French, others that are serving on this committee. It's good to be here with you. God bless you. Let's open our Bibles tonight. This is the last service of the conference. There has been a lot of preaching, and I don't know what I could say that would add anything to what's been said. Everything that has been said has been wonderful. I've enjoyed it. I've appreciated it so much. And tonight I want to read from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. I'll read verse 14 and verse number 15. Chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, or anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, I want to talk to you for a little while tonight. Our glorious future, our glorious past requires a glorious future. And if I would title this message for a little while this evening, I'll be mindful of the time. I'd like to ask you a question. Does our past have a future? Does our past have a future? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you touch us with the power of the Lord? Be with us right now. Help me to speak for these few moments and say what I ought to say by the unction of your Spirit. Help us all together that we will receive from you in this moment in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. Praise God. This passage of Scripture that I've read from tonight says that I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. What God does, he does it right. What God does, he does it well. What God does, he does it without mistake. God knows what he's doing. And I've been trying to preach his gospel for a long time, but I've learned a long time ago that God knows his business. And I just want to plug in to what God's doing. He said nothing can be put to it or anything taken from it. In another place, the Bible talks about the error of trying to add anything to the Word of God or taking anything from it. That is a grave mistake. We need the purity of God's Word just as it is. We need it without anything being added to it or taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him, that we would fear the Lord. Then he said in verse 15, that which hath been is now. In other words, whatever has been truth in the past is still truth tonight. That which hath been is now. God's word has not changed. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. The New Testament said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he said, that which hath been is now. Whatever is in the past is now. Whatever was truth at the beginning of this great church at Pentecost is still the truth tonight. Whatever was truth 100 years ago is still the truth tonight. Whatever was truth 25 or 50 years ago or 1 year ago or yesterday is still the truth tonight. That which hath been is now. And that which is to be has already been. In another place, it talks about there's no new thing under the sun. So he said that which is to be has already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, when he said God requires, the word requires means to demand it back. The word require does not mean prefers. The word require does not mean he recommends it. The word require does not mean he suggests it. So it's not just that God prefers or recommends or suggests that which is past, but the Bible says God requires that which is past. Require means to demand it back. And what is it tonight that God requires that we retrieve or get back? Here's what he said. What God requires that we get back is the past. Is the past. And so the battle tonight is the past versus the present. Amen. That's the battle that we're facing tonight. What about the past? We've been hearing it in the last 24 hours. What a great heritage we have. What a great church this is. I don't feel negative about this church. I feel good about the church. Amen. I feel good. I feel the best that I've ever felt in my life about the church. The church is not going down. It's going up. It's not a defeated church. It's not a down-and-out church. It's not a bedraggled church. It's not a church that's fading out of the picture. But they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I believe these last days is going to bring out the best in God's people. I believe that with all of my heart, that the last days is going to bring out the best in God's people. Amen. I really believe that our greatest move of God is right here before us right now. I believe our greatest revival is just ahead of us. And I know that's easy to say, but I really believe that with all of my heart. The stage is set for a mighty end time, last day, supernatural visitation and a powerful manifestation of the Holy Ghost in the church and in our lives. Amen. Then the question needs to be asked tonight, what was our past? And we've heard about it in the last 100 years. We've heard about the past. And is our past valid? Does it contain and have validity to it? And what does it do for us now? What is our past doing for us right now? And what will it do for us in the future? I believe that the principles of the past are still true tonight. The real philosophy and the standards and the character of our past and of the church is just as real tonight as it's ever been. We don't serve a God that's a used to be God. He's a present tense God. Amen. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a present tense God. Somebody's already read Revelation 1 and 8. I'm the one which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Praise God. He is not one-third mighty or a part mighty. He's the Almighty. Amen. What is our past? Let's look back to the day of Pentecost. In fact, you'd have to go all the way back to the Old Testament and see how that God began to set things up for the beginning of the New Testament church. The church was not an accident. The church didn't just happen to be. It was the divine hand of God, the providential care of God, and of a loving Father that provided the impetus and the spark for this great church that we're a part of tonight. What did Isaiah say? With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, saying, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Amen. Joel, what did Joel have to say in chapter 2? In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
It never happened in that day, but that was a powerful prophetic utterance of the time that was going to come. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and upon my servants and my handmaids, in those days will I pour out of my spirit, saith God. So the Old Testament begins to prophesy and predict the coming of the church. And even when John the Baptist came, he said, I must decrease, but he must increase. He said, I can baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. John the Baptist said, that day is coming. Jesus said in John 7:37, when he stood at the last day, the great day of the feast, and cried, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, inner being, shall flow rivers of living water. And this faith he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. There was a time coming when the church would be born. In Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus moved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The church that we're a part of began at Jerusalem. The church that we're a part of, sometimes it is said, well, your church started in Topeka or Los Angeles. The church that I'm a part of started in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Amen. But God said in the book of Joel, there'll be a former rain, and there'll also be a latter rain. There was an initial, a beginning outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, and it continued for many years. In fact, I believe that God's always had a church. Amen. Ever since the day of Pentecost, I believe there's been somebody on the face of this earth baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. It may have been larger at times and smaller at times, but there'll be a former rain, and there'll also be a latter rain. Even during the dark ages, God left not himself without a witness. God's got a church, he's had a church, and he will until this church is raptured. I take it out of this world. Aren't you glad to be a part of the church tonight? Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen, amen. Beginning to rise out of that Protestant Reformation, where some people, no doubt, that was hungry for God. Martin Luther and began to nail the 95 Theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany, on October 31st, 1517, I believe it was. But at any rate, he said, 95 reasons why I'm leaving the church at home. And then others begin to add to that. And then there begin to be the latter day outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We've heard of the young people at a Bible school in Topeka, Kansas, at the turn of the century, at the year of 1900. They got hungry for God. And you know, when somebody gets hungry for God, the Spirit of God always gravitates to the hungry heart. It doesn't matter where they are. The Spirit of God gravitates to the hungry heart. It doesn't matter if it's out in a desert country. Amen. It could be the eunuch riding in a chariot, reading from Isaiah 53. But when God finds a hungry heart, God's going to gravitate to that person. Amen. For time and chance happeneth to them all. Praise God. But now in Topeka, Kansas, there was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. And then we've all heard of Azusa Street in California, how there was a mighty move of God. And in Houston, Texas, and all over this country, there began to be bus drivers and tent meetings and in school buildings. There began to be a revival. I suggest to you tonight, this was the latter rain, or the latter day outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. We don't live in an interior time. This is not an interior church. Praise God. This is a church that's loaded with spiritual potential and possibility. This is a church that has the anointing of God upon it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said revival began to spring forth. And all over this country, people began to receive the truth and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm glad that church is still in existence tonight. That church that was born the fiery anointing of the Holy Ghost in an upper room at Jerusalem is still alive tonight. We've got news for those that are hungry and searching and seeking after God. There is a truth. There is a name that's above every name. There is a church. Hallelujah. I said, God's got a church on the face of this earth, and we're happy to be a part of that church. But he said, that which has been is now. Whatever happened at Pentecost, it can happen tonight. Praise God, praise God. Whatever God began to do in that first century apostolic church can take place in Indianapolis or in your city or anywhere. Somebody said, well, it can't happen in my town. I'm here to tell you it can happen in your town. It can happen in your city. It can happen in your state. It can happen in your church. It can happen in your community. God is no respecter of persons. Out of every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with the Lord. I submit to you tonight that we haven't seen everything that we're going to see. There are signs and wonders and miracles and outpourings of the Holy Ghost, the likes of which we haven't seen. And I don't know how you feel, but my soul hungers for it. I thirst for it. I want to see it. Praise God, praise God. Not just a summer revival and a fall revival, but I want to see an ongoing, perpetual, continuous, apostolic, Jesus' name revival. I believe it's happening. I believe it's happening. I believe it's happening. Let's be a part of it. Would you clap your hands and praise God with it enough? Praise God, praise God. Amen. So the battle is the past versus the present. Even the political sense, I don't think it's ever been proven yet that you can build a great country where there's abortion and where there's the gay pride marches and the gay issue at the front, forefront of the political battles. I don't believe it's ever been proven that you can build a great nation when you leave God out of your life, God out of your schools, God out of your homes. Praise God. We need a revival tonight. I said we need a move of God tonight. Hallelujah. You've heard enough doctrine here in the last 24 hours to save the world. But I'm here to say that God requires the principles of the past, the philosophy of the past, the standards of the past. Amen. The character of the past. Praise God. God wants to rise up in the end time, not a sick, helpless, anemic church, but a strong, Jesus' name, apostolic, one God church that will make an impact in our generation. Praise God. Any apostolic people here tonight? Any Pentecostals here tonight? Baptized in Jesus' name. Got the Holy Ghost. Excited about it. Thrilled about it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God. And so we need to listen tonight to what the past is saying. That which hath been is now, and God requireth that which is past. The past is speaking to us. Don't let down now. Don't compromise now. Don't leave the truth for deception now. Don't go into error now. Don't go into false doctrine now. Praise God, we've got the message. That's not boastful. It's in the Word of God. We've got a tried and proven message. Praise God. You don't have to be ashamed to preach this anywhere, anytime, any place. This message is right. It is true because it's the Word of God. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, when David went out against Goliath, we know the story, not related, but Saul was king. But David said, when I go to fight, I don't need I don't need the armor that you're giving me. I don't need Saul's armor. I went out and killed a lion, and I went out and killed a bear, and I just want to use what's been proven. I want to use what's been tested. I don't want to use some new idea, and I'm not against new ideas. However, I think the message must always be the same. Praise God. We may get different methods. Our methodology of doing things in the church, and I'm for anything that's right and decent and wholesome and godly that works, but I this message will never change. I don't care who it is. The message is still the same. Where Peter preached at Pentecost, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Hallelujah. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, it's to your children, it's to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I said our message may change, our message may vary, but the message never changes. I said the message never changes. That Jesus' name, one God message, will never change. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. And just like no one has ever proven that you can build a great nation with abortion, the gay crowd, and taking God out of our schools and trying to take him, I guess, out of our Pledge of Allegiance and everything. There's a movement on in our land tonight to try to remove everything about God. It's a very strong move and a powerful move, an insidious at times move, but a very powerful move to try to take God out of our lives. Praise God, but there's still a true church tonight. Let me tell you, you can't build a great nation leaving God out of the picture, and you can't build a great church if you leave truth out of the picture. Amen. I'm for shouting as much as anybody. I love to clap my hands. I love to lift my hands. I love to praise the Lord. I love to shout and glorify His name. I believe there's a part of that in every service where God wants to move by Spirit. But oh, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we must never try to replace truth tonight. Praise God. Let's go ahead and shout. Let's go ahead and worship. Praise God. But when the shouting's over, let's hear from God. What does God say? What does the Word of God say? That's what I want to hear. Amen. Many years ago, back in 1960, since when I became a member of the United Pentecostal Church, my first district superintendent in Missouri was Brother Harry Brandy. Any of you that knew Brother Brandy would know that he'd say, I don't care how long you shout. And I've heard him say it many times. I don't care how long you go. I don't care how much you shout. I don't care how much you worship. But when you're through worshiping, then it's time to hear the Word of God. Amen. I remember in chiding a preacher one time who said, Brother Brandon, we had a great service last night. We didn't even have any preaching. I can still hear him say, it wasn't a great service if you didn't have preaching. Now, I know there's times there's a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost, but I think the vast majority of the time we need to hear the Word of God. I said we need to hear the Word of God. Let God be true and every man alive. And the story of Naboth's vineyard and Ahab. You know the story how that Ahab was trying to get this, and his wife was trying to get this land for him. And the simple answer was, by Naboth, he said, you can't have it. Well, I'll trade you something for it. He said, I can't do that. My father gave it to me. He said, well, I'll buy you another piece of land that'll be just as good as that one. He said, I can't do it because my father gave it to me. Every time Ahab wanted what he had, he said, I can't do it. This is an inheritance of my father. Praise God. I'm talking about our past tonight. Does our past have a future? In the past, they preached Jesus' name. They preached the Holy Ghost. They preached speaking in tongues. They preached Jesus is the mighty God. They preached holy living and separated from sin. I believe that our past has got to have a future. I said our past has got to have a future. Amen. Truth that is not preached will soon be lost. It's got to be preached. Truth has got to be preached. It's got to be taught. And when truth is not preached, then that truth will be lost. Amen. We're only one generation away from extinction. And I believe we need to put the Word of God in the hearts of our young people that they will know the truth. Praise God. There's got to be more to it than just a little song that has good rhythm, but no words and no meaning. There's got to be more to it. Thank God for the songs we're going to hear and hear. Songs that have meaning and purpose. Songs that say something. I like songs that's got a message, don't you? I like songs that'll tell you something. When you're out there in the midst of a battle and going through a trial, the Holy Spirit will bring that song to your heart and you can sing it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I like a lot of the courses, but praise God. Give me a song that's got a message in it. Give me a sermon that's got the Word of God in it. Hallelujah. You know what Paul said to Timothy? He said, Timothy, be strong. Be strong. This is no time for weakness. This is no time for vacillation on our message. This is no time for compromise. This is the time that we need to be strong in the message. And you know what? I believe we can do that and have a good attitude. Amen. Some people have tried to label the Jesus name oneness people as being people with a bad attitude. Our attitude's right. We just want to reach the whole world with the gospel. We just want to do everything we can. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to be strong. Praise God. And he said, the things you've heard, I want you to commit it to others. He said, Timothy, I'm giving to you what faithful men have given to me. Five generations. First of all, there was the witnesses of Christ. Then there's Paul. And then handed down to Timothy. And then to faithful men. And then to others also. Praise God. There's a great need tonight for us to take this message and preach it as never before. And teach it as never before. Praise God. I feel excited about what the Holy Ghost is doing. And nothing can take the place of the Word of God. Nothing can take the place of the Word of God in our churches. Now, I want to say this. And I want to qualify what I'm saying. I think promises are fine. And we have Christmas drama in our church. I think promises are fine. But it's going to take more than a drama to reach our generation. I think lectures are good, but it's going to take more than lectures to reach our generation. I think a lot of seminars are good, and we need them in their proper place, but it's going to take more than a seminar to reach our generation. Praise God. We need some men of God in the pulpit that believe this great truth and have got the message of truth in their heart. Oh, hallelujah. That says there's no compromise in my life. There's no compromise in my ministry. Praise God. I'm not going to repent. I back up, I back down, I fall away, I quit, but I'm going to preach with all of my heart. Praise God. Every preacher that's in this building tonight ought to say, I want to preach like I've never preached. I want to preach with everything that's in me. Amen. You know what I've been observing in the 41 years of pastoring at Find the Pastor Church? I've been observing that when there's no move of God with the moon, it seems like things are not going well, and it seems like there's not too many praying through, if we just start preaching. Just start preaching more. Just preach the Word. Just be faithful to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Just keep on preaching. Be faithful in what we're doing. If I have any encouragement to a home missionary tonight, it's this. Just keep on being faithful. Just keep doing the right thing. Keep fasting. Keep praying. Keep preaching. Keep loving God. Keep loving people. Don't back up any. Just keep on preaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's in Hosea chapter 7 and verse number 5. I want you to notice that with me, if you'll turn there and let's read from the Word of God. Amen. In Hosea chapter 7 and verse number 5. I want to read you a verse tonight, and here's what he said. Hosea chapter 7, verse 5. In the day our king, the princes had made him sick with bottles of wine. And he goes ahead and talks. He stretched out his hand with corners. Then he comes on down in verse 8. He said, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a kink, not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength. And he knoweth it not. Notice this. He said, Ephraim has got a problem. And he doesn't know it. He doesn't recognize it. He said, yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. Whoa, what is he saying here? He's saying strangers have devoured his strength. And he doesn't even know it. He thinks he's still got his strength. Look at Samson. He thought he still had his strength. And the Bible said that he wished not that the Lord departed from him. He wished not that the Spirit of God had left him. Oh, hallelujah. Then he came on down and he said, Ephraim is a kid. Now turn. And he said, strangers have taken away his strength. But he don't know it. And gray hairs are appearing here and there upon him. But he knoweth it not. Amen. He's getting gray hair. But he doesn't seem to know it. He doesn't seem to recognize it. Back several years ago, I started getting some gray hair. I put it now in my eyebrow. And I went to preach for the Framer in a place that a little boy was being kind to me. And just a little bit of gray. He said, bend over. Little good, I bent over. He said, I want to get that piece of something out of your eyebrow. I said, shut up, kid. Praise God. That's a little gray hair here and there. I was nice to him. And we had a nice time. But he was going to get that piece of string out of my eyebrow. But I saw it coming. But you know what? Gray hair doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come all at once. It comes a little, and then a little more, and then a little more. That's the way compromise comes. If we're not careful, in this great apostolic church, we can hear so many things that are not relevant to New Testament salvation that we can lose the message. And not even know we lost it. We can lose our power with God and not know we've lost it. We can lose our love for the message and not know we've lost it. I fear, one of my fears as a pastor is that we raise up a generation that really doesn't know the great truths of God's Word. I don't want to raise up a generation of young people. I don't want to raise up a generation of young preachers coming out of my church that really doesn't know the truth. God help us tonight. Praise God. Here's what he said. Gray hairs are here and there and he doesn't know it. It happens a little bit at a time. It was an unconscious change. It wasn't deliberate. It wasn't planned. It just sort of happened gradually. That's what can happen in this apostolic movement. We can gradually lose our love for the truth. I've been to places that if you would sing, brother, I'm telling you, they'd get with you. And as soon as you start preaching, they'd either leave or they'd go to sleep or they didn't have much time for preaching. Amen. I love singing, but singing will never replace the preaching of the gospel. I love good music, and you've obviously got good music and singing and choir and all that talent here. But I believe Pastor Moon would be the first one to tell us, and even those involved, this is an aid to worship. This helps in our worship. But the main thing is not to hear the song and then go home, or else all we'll want is just the gospel singing. Oh, God, give us a love for the Word of God. We can lose our power, and it can happen so gradually. We didn't know it happened. Amen. We can lose the message, and then we can start finding out. We're surprised when our young people don't know some of the basic scriptures. When I was growing up as a boy in the church, they put the Word of God in our heart. They had a study in the Word of God. Oh, God, help us tonight to come back to a basic understanding of this great truth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He said you're losing it, but you don't even know it. Glory to God, glory to God. Some people are losing the doctrine, and they don't seem to know it. And you ask them about it, and they'll say, well, I still believe the truth, but they hardly ever preach it. I've heard preachers go for weeks and weeks. One preacher told me, and he said, in fact, I've had more than one, but I'm thinking one recently. He said, you should never use the word Trinity. You might offend people. You should never use the word Trinity. And I don't try to offend people. I really don't. As I said, I've been pastor 41 years, and you don't pastor a church going around trying to offend people. But it's been stated today that the people in McCool said it. The truth will offend. Praise God. It really will. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm telling you tonight that we need to have a clear understanding that Jesus is the mighty God. I was reading something just the other day, and it's been a while back. But there was an article in the paper that was cut out of the paper, and it says, Holy Trinity is central to Catholic belief. And here's what it said. It said the fundamental beliefs of the Catholic faith Monsignor Stoffel said, and he shows his picture here, and quite a lengthy article, and he said, one of the most difficult Catholic beliefs, this is the way he termed it, one of the most difficult Catholic beliefs to understand is the mystery of the Trinity. He called it a Catholic belief. And he said, it's one of the most difficult to understand, that there's one God who exists in three divine people, I'm quoting verbatim, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Explaining part of that belief, Monsignor Fossil said, Jesus is God, but he's not the Father. Therefore, he's a separate person. It is the Father who receives the gift of the Son on the cross. It's the Son who gives the gift of life to his Father. And that's the confusion that we're facing in the religious world tonight. Praise God, praise God. I was teaching on the Godhead, just happened to be on that subject. Hadn't taught it quite a while as a subject, and been teaching the last three or four Tuesday night Bible studies. And a young couple came Tuesday night, and he said, Pastor, he said, I think I got your message clear. He said, there's one God, and his name is Jesus. I said, that's right. He said, but let me ask you. He's very honest hearted. He said, let me ask you. He said, I've been baptized, and he had his Bible open. Matthew 28:19. He said, now, I've been baptized, Matthew 28:19. What should I do? Is my baptism wrong? What should I do? And he was, he and his wife sitting in the front pew of the church. Everybody else almost gone. My wife was there, sitting there. I knelt down right in front of him, and I said, let's read that. What does it say? Matthew 28:19. Jesus said there was no one getting baptized. It was a command to the disciples to go and teach and baptize them in the name. In the name. And I began to emphasize that. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, what is that name? And we began to talk about it in Scripture. The name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus. And he said, I can see that. I want to get baptized this weekend. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's still some hungry hearts out there. I said, there's still some hungry hearts out there. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's still some men and women that are hungry. Don't give up in your city. Don't give up in your community. Don't say, well, it looks like we're going to have compromise in order to get a crowd. Praise God. Don't make compromise in your heart. We're still going to preach one God. We're still going to preach the truth. We're going to build great churches. We're going to build them to the glory of God. Hallelujah. We need old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned worship, old-fashioned preaching, old-fashioned power, old-fashioned anointing. Hallelujah. What do you say? Let's have revival in 2003. Clap your hands for me and let's praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God. I want the musicians to come. I'll read you something else. Where a few years ago, the Pope was in Belize City, in the nation of Belize. I have the article. It's out of the Los Angeles Times. Pope hails ecumenicalism and criticizes proselytism. And here's what he said. The Pope was in Belize City, and he said Anglican and the Methodist churches, the Pope praised them for the ecumenical movement in customary cautionary terms. But he also said that aggressive proselyting is incompatible with the unity already existing. Let me read what the Pope said. It has been, since the beginning, an important part of the program of the journey, of my journey as a pilgrim, to take up the subject of Christian unity and meet with representatives of other churches and ecclesiastical communities. So it was in Germany, the United States of America, Great Britain, and elsewhere. So it is here now in Belize. Here's what he said. When we strive, let me quote this word for word. When we strive for this perfect communion among all the churches and ecclesiastical communities, this is what we mean. A unity that is shaped and modeled on and given to us by the Holy Trinity. He said, when we speak of unity, we're speaking about a unity that is shaped and modeled and given to us by the Holy Trinity. That's the present Pope. Amen. And then I have an article here by a gentleman who's a Catholic theologian. And he said, our opponents of our church sometimes claim that we should not hold any belief dogmatically that does not explicitly appear in the Scripture. And he was talking about the bodily assumption of Mary to heaven. He said, our opponents say we should not hold anything dogmatic that cannot be proven by the Scripture. But he said, and I quote, This is a Catholic theologian. He said, but the Protestant churches have themselves accepted such dogmas as the Trinity, for which there is no such precise authority in the Scripture. Amen. He said, why are you fighting us on what we teach on some other issues? He said, because you have accepted our philosophy of the Trinity. Now, here's the crux of what I'm saying tonight. We've got a great church. It's been great for the last 100 years. It's been the latter day, last day, outpouring of the Spirit. Thank God for the millions that the French talked about, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for every revival, every Bible study, every tent meeting, every bus driver years ago, every rented building, every storefront, every sermon preached, every witness that was given, everything that's ever been done for the name of the Lord. I thank God for it. But then I want to ask you tonight on the strength of our past. Does our past have a future? What is our future as a church? Will we be weak and hesitating? Will we be vacillating and compromising? Will we become a weak church that's weak on the message and weak on doctrine? My prayer tonight is, and I don't believe we will, and this meeting, this steadfast meeting, I believe it answers and responds to a definite need among apostolic people. Hallelujah. When preachers hit the pulpit that have been preaching for years and says, I can't explain the oneness to you, I'll try to come back and study it and come back to you later and tell you what it says. There's a definite need tonight. Does our past have a future? Praise God. Our past has been glorious. Our past has been filled with souls baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Our past has been getting revelations from God through the power of the Holy Ghost. But oh, let me ask you tonight, does our past have a future? And I'm going to answer that. I believe it does. I believe we've got men and women and young people that love this truth and love this gospel and love the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me right now? Let's lift our hands and give thanks to God. There's a name above all others. There's a name above every name. Oh, let's bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's thank God for the truth tonight. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God for apostolic people everywhere that's standing up for the Word of God, standing up for the name of Jesus, standing up for the new birth message. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now here, just before they sing again, and I close, here's what could happen. Between the past and the future, we could raise up a generation that wouldn't really know this virus. Wouldn't have a revelation of the deity of Christ, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. That God's a spirit. And that spirit conceived in the womb of a virgin girl named Mary. She brought forth the Son of God. That flesh was the Son of God. And that flesh died. Jesus died for us. But God didn't die. On the cross, he cried out and said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I heard a preacher on the radio about 2 years ago. He said, I just didn't see it in my mind. There's the Father up in heaven. And he can't stand to see the glory side of Calvary. And he can't stand to see his son die. And he turns his back on him. So we don't have to watch his son die. That's not what that verse is saying. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The spirit forsook or left the body so that body could die and become the sacrifice and the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only. Praise God, but for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. That body was in the grave 3 days and nights. And that spirit re-entered that body, resurrected, and he was with the disciples 40 days, preparing them for the building of the church. And then he ascended. And the angel said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus that you see go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you see him go. But he said, go in Jerusalem and tarry there and wait there until you be endued from out of power from on high. Thank God for the Holy Ghost power. It's more than just a blessing. It's Christ in us. It's more than just a Sunday night shout. It's God's Spirit living inside of us that gives us divine enablement and divine ability to live a Christian life. Now the distance between what we were, what we are, and we travel in single steps. Just a small distance from the side of a rifle can cause great variation. Tiny misreadings of a compass can take a ship miles off course. Every once in a while, and I do that when I come here, I look in the mirror. God, who was still on target, was still preaching this apostolic message. Some people changed, and I read about it, they didn't know it. But let's look in the spiritual mirror tonight. James talks about a man that beholds his natural face in glass and walks away and forgets what manner of man he was. When we come to this meeting, steadfast conference, we're looking in a mirror. Hallelujah. And I want to be honest with myself. I want to be honest with God. Does our past have a future? We can sing about Azusa Street. We can talk about Topeka, Kansas. We can talk about great revivals. We can talk about the revivals of yesteryear. Praise God. And I've told it before. I'll briefly tell it in a few seconds. My dad was introduced to Pentecost in 1929 when he was 10 years old. He's now, he'll be 84 next month. He's still preaching. Still preaching. Still going. In fact, he preached last week. Amen. Not pastoring, but he's still preaching. But he was introduced to Pentecost at the age of 10 for the Mooney in the little town in Missouri, Portageville, Missouri, a little farming community of 3,000 people. So the C.P. Kilmore came through there and they put up a brush arbor. And if you don't know what a brush arbor is, I'll take the time to explain. But it's quite a simple little deal. They just needed something to shield the sun and a little bit of rain, whatever. And they put some poles up, a little brush and all on top of it. And C.P. Kilmore came there. My dad was 10 years old, went out there and preached. Amen. During that revival, the C.P. Kilmore got a note one day. Young boy came and handed him a note written on just a little brown piece of a paper sack. And Brother Kilmore had announced, tomorrow night, I'm preaching on the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And this was a Catholic town. And he said, tomorrow night, I'm going to define and explain for you that the Catholic Church started the dogma, doctrine of the Trinity. And he said, tomorrow night, I'll be preaching this. And he was right in the middle of a Catholic town. So a little boy brought him a message next morning, and he said, dear Reverend, if you try to preach that sermon tonight, there's three of us that'll be in the back of the truck, and we'll have a gun, each one of us, and we will shoot you. I'm talking about, you know, down in the nitty-gritty. Brother Kilgore said, would you take a message back to him? He said, I just brought you the message, sir. I'm not in this. He said, take a message back for me to these fellows. Would you? He said, okay. He turned over in the back of the little piece of paper, and he wrote on there with a little pencil. He said, service starts at 7:30. Praise God. He got up and announced his text, Revelation 17. I'm going to talk about the mother of harlots. By their own admission, all three of those men were not kidding. They were standing in the back of the truck. They had a gun. All three of them aimed it at him, and they pulled the trigger, but nothing happened. And they cried again, and nothing happened. And then the fear of God got a hold of the heart, and all three of them ran off the back of that truck under that brush arbor and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that started a revival in Portageville, Missouri. Praise God, praise God, praise God. My dad was 10 years old, and they went on, and they didn't start a church right then, but something planted his heart. He became an alcoholic, but in 1948, somebody else came through preaching the same message, and my dad repented, and got baptized, and got the Holy Ghost, and so did my mom. And my dad baptized over 3,000 people in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Who knows? what truth you're going to do. Praise God. Oh, I feel His presence here tonight. I feel His presence here tonight. Why don't we sing that again? And let's worship the Lord as we sing it. Let me ask you the question before they sing. Does our past have a future? Can we stand? And will we stand? Not compromising, but loving God, loving souls, loving the Word of God. Will we stand in these last days? You say, Brother Brooker, nobody wants to hear it anymore. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't think we have to take a choice of doctrine or revival. I don't think it's either or. I don't think it's multiple choice. I believe we can have revival and preach doctrine. And I'm going to say the only way you can have a real lasting revival is to preach the doctrine and instill the Word of God in the hearts of the people. It's not a multiple choice. It's not either or. Hallelujah. We can have a great revival preaching the Word of God. Does our past have a future? I believe it does. And I believe that Steadfast Conference will play a role in that future.